The Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Different situations require different responses. When your child calls because they were in an accident, you respond with fear and then relief when you know that they are okay. When your child gets their first speeding ticket, you might respond in a different way. Thankfully, I haven't received that call yet. How we respond to any situation can say a lot about what we believe, what we value, and even sometimes what we truly love. In the devotion that I wrote for this week, I quoted a scene from the movie Mulan. If you've never seen Mulan, the basic storyline is that Mulan is the only child of a great warrior. She struggles to fit the role that a young woman was to fulfill in her society. When the Huns invade China, each family is told to send one man to represent the family. Mulan is angry because her dad has fought already, and at his age, he can no longer wield his sword as he once could.
Go.
Mulan.
There are plenty of young men to fight for China.
It is an honor to protect my country and my family.
So you'll die for honor.
I will die doing what's right.
But if
I know my place, it is time you learned yours.
So this is a spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie. It's been out for a lot of years, but spoiler alert. Mulan goes on to steal her father's armor. She defeats the Hun army, and she saves the emperor from death. She did not respond the way that society would have told her to respond. Today we read the Magnificat, Mary's song, her words in response to the life that is growing inside of her. But before we get into her story, I want to back up a little in Luke's gospel to another angel visit and a different kind of response. I'm talking about Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who was a priest. As it was, he and his wife Elizabeth were righteous before God, but they were unable to have a child. Zechariah drew the lot to be able to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and give an incense offering while those outside prayed. This was a big deal. An angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, and he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." And the angel goes on to tell him more about who John will be and what John will do with his life. Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years. It seems like a fair question on the surface, but the angel doesn't seem to think so. The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." It looks like Zechariah had the wrong response. Now let's compare Zechariah's story with Mary's story for a moment. We weren't told where Mary is when the angel Gabriel appears to her, but we know that she's a virgin engaged to be married to Joseph of the house of David. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel Gabriel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And the angel goes on to tell her about who this child is and what he will do for the world. But Mary is not without questions of her own. But her response to what the angel says is profound. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." For both Zechariah and Mary, their responses are important to the story and important to Luke's gospel. It would seem that Zechariah should have responded in faith and believed the words of the angel, considering he was a priest and offering incense in the sanctuary of the Lord. If you're going to encounter an angel, this was a highly likely place for that to happen. But Zechariah doesn't respond with faith. Instead, he wants proof. It seems clear that all the proof he needed was all around him. Mary, on the other hand, doesn't have the status or knowledge that Zechariah has, but she responds with faith beyond her years and her station. Both Zechariah and Mary model an initial response to the amazing news that they have been given. And sometime later, they will both make a second response that is more eloquent and thought through and has a little less of the initial emotional edge. So after an accident, once you know that your child is okay, then as a parent, you might have a second response. What happened? Who was at fault? Were you driving safely? What's this going to do to my insurance? All those questions. Sometimes the second response is negative, and sometimes it is positive. In the movie Mulan, there is a second response as well. When Mulan returns to her father, she has prepared herself for his anger. But instead, he embraces her with a big hug. He is thankful that she has returned to him safely. Mary's second response has been quoted often and has many songs and interpretations given for what she says. Her words are powerful, and as I said earlier, they are beyond her years and her station. Why Mary's story brought Mulan to mind is that I wonder what Mary's father would have said had he heard her words. Both Mulan and Mary would seem to bring dishonor to their families. And yet, that's not what happens. Mary's words are powerful. She recognizes the favor that God has shown to her, someone who is a nobody. She goes on to speak of the power of God. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And then she turns the world upside down with her words. And not just her world, but our world as well. For the truth of her day is in many ways also the truth of our day. She says, "God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones. God has lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things. God has sent the rich away empty. And then her song softens. God has remembered Israel according to the promise God made to her ancestors, to Abraham and God's descendants forever. Mary's words are both powerful and important to who her child Jesus will be. But her words also show us important information about God. As one author writes, here we have a characteristic of the final judgment of God, in which there is a complete reversal of fortunes. The powerful and rich will exchange places with the powerless, and poor, and the eschatological reversal has already begun. God's choice of Mary is evidence of it. So many thought that the Messiah would come with power, be a king like David, and instead the Messiah is one who will turn the world upside down, not only in judgment, but in grace and mercy as well. Mary responds in praise to the promises that God has made, but these aren't the promises that anyone expected. And what about Zechariah? Does he ever get his voice back? After John is born, they take John on the eighth day to be circumcised. There's a discussion about what he should be named. Elizabeth insists that his name is to be John. And it's not till finally Zechariah takes a tablet and writes, his name is John, that his mouth was opened and his tongue was freed. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he spoke his own response to God's promises. He speaks first to the promises made to Israel and to the ancestors of Abraham. Sounds familiar, right? Mary did the same thing. He then tells us about what John will do. And I'm going to sing a little bit of his response. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now we know nothing more of John's childhood except this in Luke's gospel. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. Now there's a reason why I have lifted up both Zechariah and Mary as examples to us this morning. Both Mary and Zechariah receive God's promises. Mary responds with faith, and Zechariah responds initially with doubt. Their response doesn't, however, change God's promises made to them. This, my siblings in Christ, is yet another moment of grace. Because if I'm honest with myself, in those moments when God has been nudging by the power of the Holy Spirit in a new direction, I'm more likely to respond initially with doubt and fear than with faith. I'm more likely to run away from whatever it is that God would have me do in that moment. But my own doubt and fear doesn't change the promise. And I want you to hear that your own doubt and fear doesn't change God's promise to you. God's promise remains, and God gives us the opportunity to respond again and again. We may never be as eloquent as Mary or Zechariah, but our words don't change or enhance or even diminish God's promise to to us. Siblings in Christ, the angel Gabriel may not have appeared to you, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't have a promise for you. God's promise comes to us in our baptism when we are claimed as God's own beloved children. God's promise comes to us in Christ's body and blood when we are forgiven our sins. As God's promises can come to us in many and varied ways. Maybe you make your response right away. Maybe you take some time to think about what you might say before you respond. But do not fear. You have received that promise from God. And as God kept God's promises to Mary and to Zechariah, God keeps God's promises to you. Amen.